It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Boy, we are full up today, and it's a great day. Ed Graney, Pritch, Clay, love this time of year. Love having this guy in. Dr. Caleb Penninger, follow him on Twitter at VegasSportsDoc from Crivetti Ortho, Crivetti Orthopedics. Wonderful place if you have any kind of orthopedic need. Get out to Crivetti Ortho. Hello, doctor.
Good morning.
Well, we usually go right to Mookie Betts injury, but now we have to go to the coronavirus.
Yeah, right. None of you have a fever today, do you? I mean,
no.
We're all looking good.
We're all healthy.
I'm staring at you through a bottle of Purell,
yes.
And there's a big blue Lysol that's in here.
Was this Coach Joe Esposito's? He usually comes in and starts spraying.
He prefers
people.
The yellow, so that's a blue.
Every time I look at this bottle, I feel like yes. I need to put some on my hand.
Because you're looking at me and I'm a mess.
So we have so many things to talk to you about this in terms of the virus and the fear people have. And you were saying beforehand, you know, tell us this. As every sports league was canceled yesterday, the NCAA tournament, all these sports leagues canceled, were you more surprised or in what way did you understand because of the fear and the unknowns of virus that they had to shut these leagues down?
I think of a quote that we get taught in medical school, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. And so if you have something that you're uncertain about, and if you don't quite know how bad is it going to affect a community or how easily transmissible is it or how likely is it to cause severe harm or death to a person, and if you can say, you know, let's put a halt until we get more information, until we have the right answers, and can we slow the spread until we have better resources aimed directly to this, then is it a good idea? So I'm not surprised, and I think that once you see one of the big players make a big decision to postpone, it's just a matter of time till everybody follows suit. And I know you look at the impact this has on the players, the fans, the employees, on the coaches, on everybody. It's dramatic, but is it in the best interest of the community? I think it is. It's just, man, it's sure hard to see all this happen.
It's impossible to say how this will spread, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, we know that you got to be near somebody, of course. I mean, it's not like you're going to get it if you are in the safety of your home, and if you're just watching TV, then it's not going to like sneak under your doorway and get in there. And so that's why people are, you know, just laying low.
Pritch, the doctor mentioned something I think is really important. I really think Rudy Gobert was the tipping point.
Yeah.
Because if the average person has it and you don't know that person, but once an NBA guy got it, it was almost like there was mass panic and the NBA shut down right away. And then Donovan Mitchell gets it and now they're testing everyone in all these leagues. Did you think that? Like, once an NBA guy got it, everyone's like, whoa, whoa, and all of a sudden everything shut down.
Yeah, you know, I go back to, as a player, remember when Magic Johnson came out and said he had HIV?
Yeah.
And I was in the league at the time. And we all looked at each other. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. There's a lot of blood in the National Football League.
Yeah.
What's going to happen here? I mean, are we in trouble as players when we go out there and play this brutal game and we got to cut and somebody else got to cut and okay, blood, right? And see, but we just didn't know. You just don't know how.
We were uneducated at that
very
point.
Very uneducated. Right. So I go back, and that's how I'm trying to comprehend all this now, is you just don't know. So shut it down until you know. You don't know until you know.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And I got an inkling that something like this could happen when at the education level, you know, field trips and school districts, they were canceling out-of-state travel. And this was before sports. This was before the NCAA. This was before tournaments. This was before all these other major events. And so on that level, they were trying to take extra precaution. And it just graduated up to that level. I mean, Rudy Gobert, I think, yeah, absolutely. He was the most public occurrence of this. And it made it that real and that vivid for everybody.
I remember being at the press conference when Magic announced one of the most incredible things I've ever covered. I remember looking at Magic, my boyhood hero, saying he's about to die.
Mm.
So tell us about, I've always said, and I told Pritch this morning and Clay, like I've always considered us a country of panic and hysteria. And I think we saw a lot of that in this situation. But tell us about that sense of how much is this panic? We talked about other diseases, H1N1, all of that, Zika and all that. How much percentage is this just panic and hysteria? Could the panic be worse than the disease?
I think you definitely see that happening. We haven't seen in our country yet rates of rates of fatalities, or how many people are truly dying of this disease. We get some reports from other countries, and so those reports come in, and everybody panics because they're thinking, oh, I got to quarantine myself. I got to go to the grocery store, pull everything off the shelf. I don't want to leave my house for the next month. And you're seeing that hysteria, but you know, going back, it is that unknown. It's the concern of, okay, well, what if this does become, you may not leave your home, you have to stay indoors. If you need something desperately, we'll have someone try to bring it to you. But so everybody's nervous, and you understand why, but you don't want to be the group or person that doesn't at least acknowledge that there is a problem and take precautions for it. But do we need to be in mass panic at this point? I don't think so.
We're here with Dr. Caleb Penninger. Follow him on Twitter at VegasSports.CrivettiOrtho. Let's get to some sports questions now. We love to have you in here for that. Vegas Golden Knights, Cody Glass, we know his season is over, his second knee-ending surgery. So I assume him being young helps him. I assume him being in great shape helps him. Are you worried, though? Do these things become chronic, or do you just fix them each time and he's fine after that?
The report suggests that they expect him to be back in September. So even the severity of the injury is up in the air. I mean, what exactly was it that he had fixed? What type of surgery was this? Because to be back in September, you're talking only, it's less than 6 months away.
Can that tell you anything?
Yeah, it's not an ACL. There's no way he's coming back from an ACL at that point. But could it be a meniscus tear? Could it be a piece of cartilage that was torn? Could it be even an MCL injury that had to be repaired? All those could be ready to go by that point.
Wow. I mean, at 20 years old, and he's already arthritic that way. I mean, like, I don't want to try to figure out what his future is going to be from a career standpoint, but how do you overcome that? I mean, if it is bone on bone, I was fortunate. I didn't have a bone on bone situation.
You ever do your knee?
Yeah, I'm bone on bone right now. Ooh. But that didn't happen until after a decade in the National Football League. Whereas Cody Glass, I mean, he's just starting, and it's like, I just wonder what his future could look like.
To already have surgery, anytime you've had surgery on a body part, I mean, you have a high rate of getting back to play, mm-hmm. but you definitely have, what is the long-term consequence going to be? And a lot of times that is, what damage was there to the cartilage? Even if he had a knee scope, and if you didn't see damage in the 10-15 year mark, will there be softening of that cartilage? Will it start to erode off? That is the big question. And if you've had a couple of that twisting bowing mechanism, we saw it on the initial image. The second time you heard it when he was in the AHL, we didn't have great video of it, but the first time you could sure see the tweak his knee underwent, and it is a very specific injury that looks like you could for sure have hurt the cartilage, and that will cause problems over time.
How devastating
are still a several year career before he has to go through that.
Right. Yeah.
How devastating are knee injuries in hockey as opposed to maybe basketball or football?
The impact's less. The torque on the knee is very high, so they get a lot of collateral ligament injuries like MCLs, and of course, impact into a board is going to be devastating, which we've seen happen.
Yeah.
But it's not quite the jarring that you see in a jumping sport or in a collision sport. As far as the impact these guys take with the NFL.
Tua has had his 4-month checkup. They said on the dislocated hip, described it as very good, no concerns, positive as possible. He's beginning to do things to get his body ready to play. I don't think he's faced a rush or anything. I think he's just beginning to throw. So you knew of his hip injury. I guess the 4-month checkup. I guess why was that critical? Just to see if it had been completely healed, or do you think at this point it could be completely healed, or is it a slow progression that they're looking at film, saying okay, it's where it should be at this point.
It's where it should be at this point. Okay. They're looking at pictures. They're ranging his hip. They're trying to make sure, okay, is there a deficit? Have you lost range of motion? Are you building strength? And now they're going to start the practice-based activities. Can you drop back in a pocket? Can you make some quick steps? And then they're going to reevaluate with some more images in another month or so. And so as of this point, you want to see, is the bone showing that it's healing? Has anything shifted or moved? Because sometimes we put things back together, and 3 months later, you see a person back, and you take a new x-ray, and you say, what has happened? And something has totally changed.
Right.
So in this case, they're checking to make sure everything's right where they put it. They're very pleased with the alignment. It's healing as expected. Now they can test him. And so now they're going to start pushing him, and then they'll recheck him in another month. And as long as that's looking good, you know, expect, like any injury, when you return to play, you expect it to be sore, you expect to have a couple of setbacks, but as long as he's making progress, we should see him get over this.
Doc, I love the fact that you're in here because I get to ask these questions that I always wondered about. So Tua, another young player, another oft-injured player, from a team standpoint, you're a doctor for a NFL team. I mean, what do you recommend? I mean, what do you say to that GM about a 20-year-old or 21-year-old kid that's been banged up and injured and he's got a long road from a healing process? And then also, how long is he going to play? I mean, what kind of recommendation would you make as a doctor?
So we, in terms of all of his injuries so far, they've been impact collision based. This hasn't been a tweak in practice where he's just lifting weights or where he's running drills. These have been impact problems instead of just bad mechanics, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And so as far as him healing these injuries and being safe, you got to know, if you're a team trying to pick him, you have to know we have a line that can protect this guy because he has had a couple of injuries where he's been tackled, been injured on those tackles. And so if you know that, hey, we want to build a team around this guy, he's going to be our guy, and then we're going to build the line, that might not be the best fit because could he be injured while you're building your line? So right. you're going to consider that as you go forward. So I think that's got to be in the conversation with this guy.
Would you be more worried as a GM if it's a hip and you operate on knees daily, or if it's a knee where you absolutely know, okay, it's an ACL, time has told us, history has told us, he's fine in a year? A hip, to me, just seems a little more mysterious to where could it pop out, what's happening. Like knees, you know, you can tell anyone you operate on, if you do all the rehab, you're going to be fine in this state. But to me, Pritchard, it just seems like a hip is different. It just seems like, how sure, if you're a GM, if the medicals are good to this point, that you would take this guy?
You're totally right. The hip is a more mysterious injury because there have not been a lot of hip dislocation fracture fixes like we're seeing with Tua. Whereas with a knee, you see the same injury over and over and over. You know, you've got Bo Jackson had a hip dislocation, not a fantastic outcome. Dennis Pitta had the hip dislocation, less than a fantastic outcome. And so this is the question mark. I mean, we're seeing good reports so far, but the track record has not been as proven as a lot of our other injuries.
Right, because it's the hip, and then it's also both ankles, you know.
Yep.
And this all happened in college. And I'm hopeful that Tua can have a meaningful career. I just saw Miles Jack, though. Remember this guy from UCLA? He got knocked down in the draft because there was doctors out there saying that, you know, he's not going to have a long career. So instead of being a high first-round draft choice, I think he went in the second round. And now he's on another team already. So it's just like for Tua – or for any team really that's looking at drafting a quarterback, you just wonder if those conversations are taking place, the long term, or how long is his career going to be in the NFL, and do we make that investment or not?
Yeah, absolutely. You know those conversations are happening, and you know that they've discussed, okay, we've seen how good he is.
Right.
He is so good. He's a guy you could count on if he's healthy. And my speculation was, you know, he can't go as high as the guy who's perfectly healthy at this time. But there's so many teams that are saying, you know, we know how good he's going to be. We know the reports are saying he's coming back. So you expect him to still go high up there. But I would expect it to drop him a little. But nobody wants to risk losing him.
Right.
So that's the trick. He's so good that nobody wants to take the risk.
Dr. Caleb Pinneger, Las Vegas' sports injury expert with Crivetti Orthopedics, CrivettiOrtho.com, as well as ICanAgain.com. And before we let you out of here, what is the odds of occurrence, reoccurrence with this injury? And would you tell him that he needs to stop running? How much of this is going to affect his mobility as a quarterback? Because that's half his value.
He's got to make sure that he falls in the right way. I mean, obviously you can't control how you're tackled, but as a quarterback, you got to protect yourself and preserve your longevity because you are clutch to the team. And so when you're running, I mean, if somebody's coming, take the slide. Don't take the hit. Don't get wrestled down by the jersey and thrown to the ground or have a big pile on top of you. You protect yourself. So he's got to be careful with that. I think you'll see that change some. I don't think that crucial part of him goes away because that's such a vibrant part of his play technique. And so... But hopefully, you know, he's going to be guided. And you better believe if he takes a hit unnecessarily, his coach is going to be like, you can't do that. And they're going to tell him, right, look, take the sack. It's okay. Just make it softer. You know, they're gonna try to keep him healthy.
Pritch, you played in the league a long time. I mean, I could see the sliding if he's an open field, but to be able to react as fast now and as big and as strong as those guys. And by the way, the linebackers aren't letting up on Tua.
No,
I mean they're coming after him. So that's going to be difficult. Other than a slide to, as the doctor said, to try to react in a way that you're not going to get hurt, because you know the other guys aren't slowing down.
Yeah, get rid of the football. That's one thing. Yeah. His knowledge of a defense will help him in terms of understanding where he's got trouble or where trouble is going to be coming from, that kind of thing. So the self-sack, that's what we call it. The self-sack in the National Football League, you have to do that. You're a franchise quarterback. You're making $25, $30 million a year. You're so valuable. Self-sacking or throwing the ball out of bounds is not a bad play. Absolutely not a bad play.
No. Dr. Caleb Pinneger, ICanAgain.com, Crivetti Orthopedics, this time of the year. Everyone wants to go and maybe kind of think about, what can I do to, like, get out of the house? I want to, like, you know, I want to go and take a trip to Disney, or at least want to go camping with my family, but I can't get up the hill. I got a knee, I got a back. You know, I think it's good that at least you can go to Crivetti Orthopedics and go in for a consultation and check it out just to at least see what the options are, right?
Absolutely. No, nobody's going to twist your arm, say that you got to make your next stop to the operating room. There are always options, and you will be walked through those options. We'll talk about the benefits of each. You got questions. You know, there's all day to talk about it, and there's, you know, your whole life to make a final decision. But if you're putting, I tell everybody, if you're putting things on hold strictly because you're scared, at least come have the talk.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's half the battle right there, because people will stop themselves before they even have the talk because they're scared.
Oh, yeah.
The fear of the unknown. And it's not like that over there at Crivetti Orthopedics. Or go online, ICanAgain.com, and you can see the testimonials for yourself of everyone that's, you know, not letting this affect their lives and improving their lives because they're getting out now.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, thanks for coming out all the way here.
Awesome.
You got a busy day, man. I don't know, like, the Fridays are like, you got to get back to the studio, the laboratory. You got to get back to the clinic. You got to start getting on the table.
I always love asking you, how many surgeries today?
Yeah, how many?
Today's office.
Oh, really? It's office. Okay.
Today's office. So
there you go.
So you're buying
lunch. No surgery today.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
It's a big day.
Do you get hyped up, though, like when you have a lot of surgeries? I mean, it's like game day for me. I mean, do you do that as a doctor?
Oh, I got eight today.
I got eight surgeries today.
How many?
Jumping around, you're doing your windmills.
I'd love to ask you, in an average day when it's surgery day, how many could you have?
Oh, it all depends on what you're putting together. Some of the surgeries are hour and a half, 2 hour surgeries. Okay. Other surgeries are 20, 30 minutes. And so it really depends the spectrum. But you know, any day between 6 and 10 is absolutely possible.
Nice.
The magic number being 8. Let's go 8.
Oh, man. We need things to be posted at the books now because there's nothing on the boards.
Yeah.
So, Clay, later in the day, we want Pinneger number, and let's put the number at 8 on the over-under for his next surgery day. Hey, look, there are degenerates out there who would bet that because there's nothing to bet on right now.
Degenerates already brought it down to -140 for 8. Dr. Caleb Pinneger, thanks again.
Hey, thanks, you're welcome. Appreciate it.
Follow him on Twitter at VegasSportsDoc and at CrivettiOrtho.com. When we come back, we'll go over some more NFL news as well as Ryan the Hockey Guy on deck here on ESPN Las Vegas.